Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ask not.
The Beatles.
Those are circuses on the air.
And the president does.
Sometimes you feel like a...
That means that it is not illegal.
Sometimes you don't.
Tear down this wall.
Here's Jennings.
Hey, Luke. May the force be with you.
It was you, Kristen, who shot J.R.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Ah! We're not gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
John's been waiting a long time to take the reins.
My name is Dave Letterman. Last night, I became a father. Thank you very much.
Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
For the third time in six seasons, it's one goal achieved. The Chicago Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. The Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup.
It's in time. Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs have done it.
And now, this is history.
You're going to need outstanding hosts.
With Dave Plyer.
It's a guy, but I love you.
And Dave Schwann on 720 WGN.
And in for Dave Schwann this morning is Mr. Roger Badish. Good morning again.
Well, hi there, Dave. No, that's a bad Schwann.
That is
He's
a bad
having way too much time, he, too much fun out there on
he
the
is.
Road.
He is. He's on the road in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yep.
And speaking out, being out west, Senator John McCain, with a 30-year tenure in Congress, not to mention his 2008 presidential run, John McCain's legacy as a former prisoner of war, turned public servant, has long been revered. And his independent streak, most recently evident in his 2017 vote to sink the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, and his vocal critiques of Donald Trump, is certainly part of that legacy. And Senator McCain died Saturday at the age of 81.
Yeah. And again, you know, we talked very briefly, and it strikes me, as a lot of things in history do, sometimes there's connections, and the fact that he died on the exact same day that Senator Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, passed away from the exact same disease.
Yes. Yes.
And that kind of makes you stop for a second.
Yeah.
And, you know?
Yeah. And how dangerous that cancer
is,
obviously.
Yeah.
Here are 10 things you might not know about Senator John McCain.
Okay.
John City McCain III was born August 29th, 1936, in Panama at Cocosolo Naval Air Station. He was born into a prominent military family. His father, John McCain Jr., and grandfather, John McCain Sr., were the first father-son admiral pair in U.S. naval history.
Wow.
Long-time history there. In high school, he was a wrestler and was given the names Punk and McNasty.
Nice.
Later in life, he was nicknamed the White Tornado because of his premature gray hair.
Right.
He's had that for a very long time. After high school, he attended the United States Naval Academy and graduated in 1958. McCain's two siblings, Gene and Joseph, also chose careers within the military. So obviously runs in his family.
Military family, yeah, sure.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. Good Lord. He's been married twice, seven children.
Oh.
Including one adopted daughter. Two of McCain's sons are continuing the family's military tradition. The youngest son, Jimmy, is a Marine, while other son, Jack, is in the Navy.
Okay.
Number five, John McCain served in the military from 1958 to 1981. His 1999 autobiography, Faith of My Fathers, tells about his early life and capture as a POW while serving in Vietnam. The book was made into a television movie in 2005. Do we have that clip of him as in the POW camp, in the camp?
Yes, we do.
Let's take a listen.
Without even an aspirin for the pain.
What is your name?
Lieutenant Commander John McCain.
How many raids have you done until the last one?
About 23.
In which circumstances have you been shot down?
I was on a flight over the city of Hanoi, and I was bombing and was hit by either missile or any aircraft fire. I'm not sure which. And plane continued straight down, and I ejected and broke my leg and both arms, and for went into a lake, parachuted into a lake, and I was picked up by some North Vietnamese and taken to the hospital where I almost died. I would just like to tell my wife that I will get well. I love her.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, when, you know, it's wild because, you know, you see all kinds of comments on social media about John McCain and mostly positive and mostly from both sides of the aisle,
right.
As you played, as
Definitely.
We played earlier. But then you have these naysayers that he's not a war hero. And so how do you say that?
And I saw those strings of comments on Twitter.
And even our own president.
And yeah. And if you saw the president's comments, they were too directed to the family of Senator John McCain, that there was no remark as to his record. There was no recognition of his contributions to
right.
the country or the right. politics or serving his state.
Right. A true American hero.
Yeah.
He has been awarded several military decorations and awards, including the Silver Star, Bronze Star, Purple Heart, Legion of Merit, Distinguished Flying Cross, Navy Commendation, and Prisoner of War. He recently received the Liberty Medal in October of 2017. McCain began his career in politics in 1977, serving as Navy's liaison to the U.S. Senate from 1983 to 1986. McCain served in Congress as a U.S. representative from Arizona's 1st Congressional District. His career as a U.S. Senator for Arizona began in 1987. Something else you might not know, he appeared on NBC Saturday Night Live in 2002 in a mock edition of Meet the Press. McCain has run for president twice. In his first campaign in 2000, he withdrew against Republican rival George Bush. In his mm-hmm. second, of course, in 2008, he lost to Barack Obama. And number 10, in July of 2017, he was diagnosed, of course, with brain cancer and underwent minimally invasive surgery to remove a blood clot above his left eye and spoke in Congress for that last time.
That's right. And his famous vote to save the America Care Act,
mm-hmm.
the health bill,
yep.
it wasn't a voice vote. He didn't speak.
No.
He just walked over, and everybody was just watching him.
Yeah.
And he turned his thumb down.
Yeah.
And then walked away.
Yeah. John McCain dead at 81, an American icon.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
No, we're not. I bought some yesterday. It's in the closet in the kitchen.
I ain't in the kitchen.
Oh. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Don't panic, Arch. Help's on the way. Be right there. I'll take it.
Oh, thanks, Mike. How come Daddy doesn't check for paper first?
Because he's too busy weeding.
All right, Peter, just leave it there. I put it on a roller myself. Why do you have to look for cough drops now? Get out of here.
Now, can't we get one thing clear around here? Mrs. Stibbick, would you get your little keister out of my chair?
The person who uses up the paper on the roller up there has to put a new rule on the roller. Can't just none of us remember that rule?
That's a rule?
One of your main rules of civilization, Major.
You know, so welcome back to This Is History. That is, why are we playing that? People are probably wondering, why are we playing
Can
that?
Can I take a wild guess?
Yes.
That toilet paper was invented.
That's right.
And I believe the year might be something like 583.
It is 580.
Okay, I was off by a few years.
The Chinese invent toilet paper. So what did people use before toilet paper? Curtis, what do you think?
Leaves.
They just grabbed a squirrel. I'm just telling you.
There you go.
Wow.
No, but leaves, fur, shells, corn cobs, you know, gross. But official toilet paper, that is, which was produced specifically for the purchase, dates back when the Chinese emperors ordered it in 2 foot.
Is that why everybody doesn't like squirrels?
That's probably right. Yeah. Very angry. That, no, that's why they're angry.
They're very still. Seriously, they hold a grudge.
The rolled and perforated toilet paper, as we're familiar with today, was invented around 1880, and various sources attributed to Albany Perforated Wrapping Paper Company in 1877 and to the Scott Paper Company in 1879 and 1890. And on a side note, the Scott Company was too embarrassed to put their name on their product.
Oh, really?
As the concept of toilet paper was a sensitive subject at the time. So they customized it. So hence the Waldorf Hotel became a big name in toilet paper. So it's odd that you'd be shamed to, because people use catalogs, right?
Right. I mean, they would
Montgomery Ward, the Sears catalog. Isn't that fabulous?
You order something, then you tear out the page.
That's right. That is
out
correct,
of the
sir.
Old outhouse.
That is correct.
In the privy.
That's right. 1859, the first Pullman sleeping car went into service. Sleeping cars were introduced in about 1838, providing hotel sleeping accommodations on overnight passenger trains. Pullman became, in Chicago here, building and operating sleeping cars in 1859. They continued to expand the number of sleeping cars and won contracts with additional railroads. The sleeping car that emerged as a public favorite was largely the invention of Pullman. Eventually, the name Pullman became synonymous with sleeping car and American railroads.
And it is now an historic landmark.
It is, absolutely. Right. And here is just a little overview of that experience from an original porter of Pullman, retired. His name is Herman Simmons. Let's take a listen.
We know all the Pullman porters that lived in the neighborhoods and living a good life. A lot of them were buying their homes. All of them had cars, and they would seem to be different from the rest of the neighborhood. So we decided, image for us, that we wanted to kind of be like them. Being black, couldn't get decent jobs anyhow, you know. And that seemed to be the only, well, at that time, we thought it was a decent job.
And there you have it. 1888, George Eastman patented the roll film camera for Kodak. 1901, U.S. President William McKinley shot by an anarchist while visiting the Pan American Exposition in New York. 1934, first NFL Chicago All-Star game. The Chicago Bears beat the All-Stars. Oh, no, they didn't beat the All-Stars. It was 0-0.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a battle that you wanted to sit around for 2 hours to watch.
Oh, more than that. More than that. 1939, World War II started. Germany invaded Poland. And here is a newsreel from 1939.
Poland, September 1939. The German foe begins its ruthless march of conquest and sets the stage for World War II. Poland's 34 million inhabitants, crushed, scattered, and enslaved. Tens of thousands of square miles of territory shrink before the movement of lightning-armored columns. Poland and the world learn the meaning of a grim new word, Blitzkrieg. Here is shown the initiation of that phase of modern warfare. These pictures of the preparation for attack, and later the actual combat, were all made by German frontline cameramen.
And you know what? I don't think people realize this, but, you know, obviously there was radio news that you would sit down and listen to and watch, which my son is learning by watching the Waltons.
Because that's how they had the radio.
Why are they staring at the radio?
The wireless.
Yeah. But why are they staring at it?
That's what people did.
I took Alex to the Antique Radio Club of Illinois Radio Fest this morning.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did, and I bought it. And, you know, in fact, I hope Lori's not listening, my wife, because, yes, I bought another radio home.
Uh-oh.
It's a red Bakelite 1953 radio.
I've got the same one.
Oh, it is so cool.
Mine's a little on the brown side.
Okay.
Yeah, with the big gold dial in the front.
And I collect,
Yes.
And I collect radios and vintage televisions too, and they all work and it's amazing, you know, because every time you test something, everyone always tests them to WGN, always, because the signal is so strong.
50,000 watts. Sure.
Alex bought a little novelty radio, and they were selling it for $20. It was like almost like a Polaroid one-step camera film radio.
That's neat. What
it looked like. It was cool.
I've got an old transistor radio. If you want it, it still works.
I just bought a transistor, transistor today. But anyway, let me tell you.
Okay.
So Alex says, I'd like to buy this. And I thought, okay, if he wants a radio and he wants to listen, he goes, I want to put something on the side of my bed. He's six.
All right.
And the guy said, you know, and it's really, the demographic is older for sure. All of these collectors. Yeah. So the guy said, you know what? How much money do you have in your pocket? And Alex pulled out a dollar because he had a dollar in his pocket. He said, you know what? I want young people to understand the power of radio and how beautiful these pieces of art are. And I'll give it to you for a dollar.
Oh, my
goodness.
That
was pretty cool.
That is very cool.
That was pretty cool. But newsreels were the only visual way to see the
movie
news
theaters.
In the movie theaters.
Right.
So you'd see it before the movie, right? Before the previews and everything. 1975, Gunsmoke went off the air. Gunsmoke premiered on CBS TV in 1955. On radio, first from 52 to 61, then on TV from 55 to 75, one of the longest running TV dramas ever.
Yeah, and you know who they tried to get originally?
55 to 75, who?
Yeah,
William
John Connell. Wayne.
John Wayne.
He turned the job down and recommended James Arness.
And before that on radio was William Conrad.
Yep.
In his voice.
Yeah.
1977, the last broadcast of the Mary Tyler Moore Show on CBS. In 1970, Mary Richards was one of the first female characters to be independent. They were going to have her be divorced, and when they announced the show, people wrote in and said she can't divorce Rod Petrie.
Yeah, because they thought she was
they
still
associated
yeah,
that.
Right.
So she was. It was a broken engagement. So Gavin McLeod, Ted Knight, of course, Ed Asner, Valerie Harper, Cloris Leachman, and Betty White spun off Rhoda.
John Amos too.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And they spun off Rhoda, Phyllis, Lou Grant, Mary and Rhoda. The show ended still on top of the ratings. And here's Ted Knight as Ted Baxter announcing the end of what was the newsroom of fictional WJM-TV.
Last night, as I lay awake in my bed, I wondered, how do I tell these dear friends and colleagues how I feel about them? How, I wondered, do you speak from here? Instead of here. Well, I finally got an idea. Up here. Finally, the words came to me. I put them down on paper and put them in here.
I think I'm going to be sick. Here.
And there you go. Some of the final, and of course, they sang The Long Way to Tipperary. And it was one of the first times on television when that show ended that they did a curtain call at the end of the show, which we won't play. But you can see it on YouTube. It's when they all came out and took a bow for the final time. It's actually pretty cool.